here in your presence, we are undone.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill. Welcome to In His Presence, a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, where we bring worship and the Word together so that you may be encouraged and receive a revelation of God's healing power, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. May it bring transformation to your spirit, soul, and body. These teachings and worship sessions were conducted at various times and locations. We hope that you will be encouraged and inspired as we hear the truth of God's Word, as is brought to you today by Pastor Carolyn. Please join us. The service is already in progress.
Chronicles 16:31, it says, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. They will sing for the joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns." Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate, he reigns. People shout, he reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate, he reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns, we will sing and shout, you reign, you reign, you reign, forever King of all,
forever King of all,
forever, forever. Let all the people sing of your rage when the King is on his throne. Now and forever you will reign. Let all the people sing of your awesome power in all the earth. Let darkness tremble at your name.
Yes, hallelujah.
Why do the rage when the King is on his throne. Now and forever you will reign. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout, you reign, you reign.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods.
You're all I need. Jesus,
and heal around you.
Jesus,
shout out His name.
Jesus,
shout out His name.
Jesus,
and heal around you.
Jesus,
shout out.
Thank you so much for being with us in our worship service. Now please stay with us as Pastor Carolyn brings the message.
Good evening. It's good to be with you tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about healing in our healing service. And we're going to be talking about forgiveness and how that affects our healing at times. There's a biblical principle that we've heard quoted all of our life, even by those that are not Christians. It clearly states, we reap what we sow. Some say what goes around comes around. But one principle that is sure and clearly overlooked, we reap what we sow. We sow unforgiveness, we reap unforgiveness. But on the same hand, if we sow forgiveness, we reap forgiveness. The phrase do unto is stated 139 times in the Bible and is often stated by us in an old adage, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Yes, it's a biblical concept we flippantly use without realizing that the consequences of our actions are real and put into force spiritual laws. There are some spiritual principles stated in the scriptures that do affect our lives, whether or not a person is a Christian or whether they believe it or not. Some people call it karma. Now, that's not a Christian concept, but Buddhist, but yet reflects similar beliefs that there are actions and consequences of our actions. Thus, people do understand, even if they're Buddhist, that there is a reaction to every action. There are many spiritual biblical laws that shape our lives daily, affect us, and put into motion either a blessing or a curse. Tonight, we're going to talk about forgiveness and touch on how unforgiveness sets into motion sowing and reaping. About 15 years ago, I facilitated a small group of what I thought were seasoned Christians that knew and understood basic biblical principles. And I was surprised at the reaction I got from the following statement. If we don't forgive those who have hurt us and treated us wrongly, we will not be forgiven. Thus, we will reap the consequences of sin. Wow, that stirred up a pot of worms I did not expect. Suddenly, one man said, I don't believe that. That's not true. I'm not sinning by not forgiving my ex-wife. We in this class have been hurt. God understands why we just can't forgive. I'm a Christian and God is a loving God, so that isn't true. I don't have to forgive my ex-wife. Obviously, the man had an excuse to be full of anger, not recognize it as festering sin, and couldn't believe that God would not give him a hall pass in this case. Then I read the following scriptures, and to my surprise, he still would not receive truth or what these particular passages say and would not believe that they would relate to him. Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 18:21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Matthew 18:35 said, so also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. Mark 11:26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And finally, Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you in your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. This man felt this was a harsh commandment that did not apply to him because God was a good God. And he had been deeply hurt by an ex-wife that betrayed him, and he didn't know how he could accomplish this kind of forgiveness. He was in deep pain from a terrible divorce. Little did he understand that part of the reason for his continued pain was because of his lack of forgiveness. He felt he had the right to not forgive her. He was being held hostage by his decision. His pain was a symptom of something that needed to be healed, and it would begin with forgiveness. Tonight we talk about forgiveness and the consequences of unforgiveness we deal with because of people that are in pain. The greatest key to healing is forgiveness, and that is why the Bible has so much to say about it. Let's look at forgiveness. Now, part of our nature is to blame or judge others, to not forgive. Well, where does this anger and resentment come from? The nature within us. You can find your answer in Romans 7, 15 through 25, and I'm going to read it from the NIV. It says, I do not understand what I do, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I do want to be good, there is evil right there with me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, according to this scripture, Paul realizes there is a spiritual law at work. There is a law at work because of sin, but Jesus has provided a means of escape. We do not have to live in anger, resentment, unforgiveness, and bondage. And when pain happens, all the other inbred reactions follow: resentment, blame, etc. We have been given the freedom, because of our free will, to judge, blame, sin, and hold on to these because of unforgiveness, yet stay in bondage. But we don't have the right, because Jesus Christ has made the provision and a way of escape. So we don't have to live in bondage. You see, God made our physical bodies to identify what is going on inside of us spiritually. Pain is a warning system of something wrong inside. Now, let's look at a headache. A headache can be from stress, anxiety, blood sugar, etc. If the headache continues, should we just keep on taking aspirin to get rid of it temporarily? What if the headache is a sign of an aneurysm or low blood sugar that is triggering an onset of coma? Something bad could happen because the physical pain, or the headache in this case, is a symptom of something that should not be ignored. Pain is a warning system of a wound. When we are wounded, we have pain and will continue to have pain if the wound is not appropriately healed. And the only way to deal with pain is to identify the cause and what is fueling it. And every unhealed wound will be found unforgiveness. We won't recover from the wound until we forgive. In order to live out a whole blessed life, forgiveness is essential. It is a spiritual law. And forgiveness is central into being made whole. It springs from the law of God and affects the heart. And until we forgive, the consequences of sowing and reaping will be in effect, because unforgiveness is sin. But forgiveness releases us from the law and the consequence of sin, and it puts the principle of blessing into motion. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and to forgive us of our sins and to release us from all unrighteousness. Well, what happens if we don't deal with the sin of unforgiveness, or if I choose to not forgive? When forgiveness is not accomplished, resentment and bitterness become lodged in our heart, and the roots can only be removed by a work of God's grace. The sin of unforgiveness separates us from God. It keeps us in bondage and pain. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, unforgiveness in our heart defiles others. It also says in Hebrews 3:12 through 15 that unforgiveness hardens our heart. The unbelieving heart turns away from God. The heart is hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's basically what Hebrews 3:12 through 15 says in the NIV, sometimes we cling to unforgiveness because we think it justifies our actions and protects us. We'll often believe the lie of the enemy that excusing the offender will release us, and thus we don't need to forgive. But the longer it takes to forgive, the sooner the bitterness sets in. It's like waiting too long to put out weed killer on the lawn. When we wait, the dandelion or the weeds come up and chokes out the good grass, and the weed or unforgiveness has taken root, producing bitterness. What we have to do is get them early in the spring and pluck them out. Or if we put weed killer on them to decimate them completely. Get the weeds of unforgiveness out before they take root and affect our whole life. In Matthew 18, we find the story of the unmerciful servant. And in Matthew 18:21, Peter comes up to Jesus and asks him, Lord, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus tells him, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And then Jesus tells Peter a story. If you want to, you can turn to Matthew 18, and we'll start at 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. In our day, that would be $238 million. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, that would be only $200. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, but went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Now, I remind you, that was $238 million. Should you not have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have pity on you? And his master was very angry and delivered him up to his torturers or tormentors until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. If we are a Christian, then we have received forgiveness from God for all of our sins. If we choose not to forgive someone who has wronged us, then we are like this wicked servant who would not forgive, and we're turned over to the tormentors to be tormented day and night. If we go back to verse 25, we find that originally the king commanded that the wicked servant, along with his wife and children, be sold into slavery and bondage. There is a very good possibility that the servant and his family were all turned over to tormentors or jailers to be kept until the full price was paid. The price of not forgiving has consequences for many people, not just the person who won't forgive. Well, you may ask, I think I have forgiven. How will I know? Well, let's look at the symptoms of unforgiveness. Some of the symptoms of unforgiveness might be, do you have a strong reaction in the relationship with the person that hurt you? Do you try to avoid the person? Do you rehearse speeches of what you would say to the person if given the chance? Does it go round and round and round in your head, recreating anger and anxiety? Do you imagine getting even or even getting revenge? Or can you rejoice when the other person celebrates something good happening in their life? And can you bless the person? Romans 7:15 through 23 says, I find this work at law within me. I do that which I don't want to do. This reveals bitterness from unforgiven sin. Romans 7:15 through 23 says, I find this law at work within. I do that which I don't want to do. We read that scripture, remember? It reveals bitterness from unforgiven sin. So, what are some of the signs of unforgiveness that maybe have led to bitterness? Do you have difficulty sleeping or resting? Do you have physical problems? Proverbs 6, 12 through 15 refers to sickness because of sin. Are there quick periods of despondency after joy? Are there physical, emotional, mental exhaustion feelings or torment? Are there continuing patterns of sin and you're just not sure what the reason is? Are there prayers that have not been answered as maybe they were before? Is there difficulty coming into God's presence? Has your prayer life lost its effectiveness? Well, let's look at forgiveness, what forgiveness is, and what it looks like. Forgiveness is making the choice to not hold the offense against a person that has wronged you. It is not an option. Jesus said we must forgive. And the only way to identify with Jesus Christ on the cross is to forgive. At the pinnacle of his pain, Jesus forgave the thief on the cross. Jesus humbled himself and gave the gift of forgiveness even to those that were destroying him. Forgiveness is the primary means of identifying with Christ on the cross. It gives Jesus permission to take the bitter root of judgment away. You see, forgiveness is a choice. The Holy Spirit will supernaturally enforce the choice we have made, a decision to forgive, because it's based on a spiritual principle, the truth of the Word of God. Forgiveness is a choice I make with my will. Forgiveness is not about the other person's guilt, but about my resentment and sin, whether or not it is founded or not. Forgiveness is canceling a debt that is owed, canceling the debt that they owe us. The Greek word for that is aphiamai, aphiamai. It means to remit, cancel, to send away, to remit that punishment and not hold them captive to it. The law of God mandates reaping what is sown. We are accountable for our response. If we sow forgiveness, we will reap forgiveness or life. The Bible says if we sow sin, we reap death. And you can find that in Romans 3:23, Matthew 6:14 through 15, and Matthew 18:21 through 35. We forgive so that we may be forgiven. Mark 11:25 and 26 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you and your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I would like to look at a cause that can lead to unforgiveness that often we don't think about. And that cause is anger. Anger says something is wrong that needs to be corrected. It's a warning system for us. Anger is a normal response to hurt. Anger is not sin. Jesus was angry. God said in the Old Testament, he constrained his anger with Israel. He held it back. See, anger is not sin, but it certainly can lead to sin. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. The kind of angry that we're talking about is selfish,
Pride-filled anger incurred when someone insults or rejects or injures us. In Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, the Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Sometimes we use the expression, "be angry and sin not," as a rationalization for holding on to our pain. Understand there is no substitute for forgiveness like, "well, I did the best I could under the situation." Keeping anger at bay is not natural or second nature. We naturally react. We have to be taught how to be angry in a wholesome, godly manner and let it go. Children need to be taught how to forgive and be shown by example. When we are too young to understand or express our anger, it harbors in our heart. And when we don't forgive immediately, resentments from anger become buried when we don't know when we're hurt. Many times we refuse to acknowledge the anger, turn our back, and refuse to listen. And sinful behavior erupts from the anger and it becomes buried even deeper. We rationalize or make excuses. Sometimes anger is suppressed and creates resentment. We do it to avoid pain, and it's buried and forgotten until it bubbles back up. Patterns of hurt, pain, rejection, and abandonment begin to surface or manifest when anger has become sinful because of unforgiveness. Resentment is keeping records. And remember Jesus said to forgive 70 times 7? We remain in bondage when we refuse to allow God's law to operate in our heart. We begin to believe lies. We begin to be triggered by situations that will remind us of our pain. We become hostage to resentment and bitterness. Resentment is deep buried pain which will manifest in sin. And you can find this in Ephesians 4:26. The Bible says, "Do not give place to the devil." Do not give the devil an opportunity. This means don't give him an opportunity to turn your anger and hurt into sin. Confess it. Release it. Don't allow it to influence you to sin. That is, retaliate. Or you'll have the above stated symptoms that I talked about in unforgiveness. We cannot do it on our own. Our flesh is at war. It's enmity against the Spirit of God. But God, through the Holy Spirit, works forgiveness through us to work death to the flesh in us, to produce life in us. We talked about it earlier. It's not necessary to feel anger to know you have it. It will manifest. Judgments, bitterness, hurt. We forgive by faith, not by feelings. Forgiveness is not the basis of our faith, but the result of our faith. Forgiveness says, "I want your relationship, but it may not mean I will get it, but I offer it." You see, reconciliation is a two-way street. Forgiveness is a one-way street. Sometimes we forgive, but reconciliation doesn't happen. We only let anger live long enough to know something is wrong, then we need to deal with it. But do not let your anger manifest. Now I'd like to talk about what it looks like after forgiveness has been accomplished, but I want to clear up a misconception that I would call dysfunctional forgiveness. Well, what does an accomplished work of forgiveness do? Forgiveness ends the sowing and reaping of the sin that bitterness brought. It ends the separation of this and them, us believing ourselves is better or exalting ourselves, realizing we're not better than them.
It releases us from any separation from God that would affect our lives. It helps us to realize we're all standing at the foot of the cross needing help as well as the offender. And it opens up our heart to lead the other person to Jesus to ask and receive forgiveness for holding resentments. You see, we are ambassadors of Christ, and we need to have others reconciled to God. We are the ambassadors of Christ to others. And you can find that in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 and Proverbs 19 and 13. You see, forgiveness opens up the possibility to the other person to be set free, to have the offers of assurance also. So how is it accomplished? It's a spiritual act that is worked through the Holy Spirit. The decision is enforced by the Holy Spirit because God honors our decision. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. After forgiveness, we are to offer blessing. Be there for those who hurt. Romans 12:14 through 21. You see, it is God's business to exact revenge, not ours. Ours is to bless, to put heaping coals on their head, found in Proverbs 25:20 through 25. Now, many people misunderstand what that means. When we forgive, we put heaping coals on their head. So let me tell you what it means. The Bible speaks of heaping coals upon our enemy's head. Just so you don't think that means revenge, let me tell you. When this was written, there were no matches. And the only way to tinder the fire was to scoop up the coals and go from kitchen to spread the fire. The coals or fire was representative of warmth and love. It was a sacrificial act. And it was dangerous. So what they did is they blessed each other by bringing the coals to them. What does forgiveness not mean? Many times, because we're in dysfunctional situations, we tend to misunderstand. Forgiveness does not mean that we have to deny our hurt or anger. It does not mean we have to work to change our feelings. It does not mean that we have to forgive the offense just as if it never happened. What does forgiveness not mean? Many times, because we're in dysfunctional situations, we tend to misunderstand what forgiveness means. Forgiveness does not mean that we must deny our hurt or anger. It does not mean we have to work to change our feelings. Forgiveness does not mean that we forget the offense as if it never happened. Forgiveness does not mean I'll be vulnerable. Forgiveness does not mean that I have to trust the person again because I have forgiven them. Forgiveness does not mean if I give up my resentment, I have nothing left. Forgiveness does not mean those things. Sometimes we have to remember that we've been hurt in order to be safe from people that are not safe. Forgiving is not excusing. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness does not mean the offender or the perpetrator was not wrong or should not be held accountable. But I do want to be clear. There must be clarity between not holding them accountable, but making excuses for them. Saying, well, I understand why they sinned against me. Yes, I understand. Well, that's making excuses for them in order to hold the anger or unforgiveness. It's justifying or rationalizing. But there is no excuse for forgiveness. Rationalizing or excusing without forgiving says, they did the best they could. I understand what they did. Denial is saying, I understand. I know they did nothing wrong. It's just my perception because I felt hurt. You see, understanding is in the mind, but it does not deal with the heart issue. it's in the mind, but forgiveness takes place in the heart. Only the Lord can change our heart. We give Him permission to expose our heart. We ask the Lord to expose our hurt, our sin, etc., and help us to forgive the perpetrator or the person that sinned against us. Psalms 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and reveal any secret sin within me." That could mean secret sin because it's been buried. But if you say, "I've really tried to forgive, I just don't know how to get there," then you're halfway because Jesus does the rest. If we make a choice to forgive, Jesus does the rest. God will supernaturally enforce the decision we make in order for it to be accomplished in our lives. If we choose, He will enforce it, even though our emotions may say, "Ugh, I don't feel it." If there are still bad feelings, the process of forgiveness is not a finished product. Blessing finishes the process. It's necessary to repent for the sinful, hateful reactions against those who perpetrated you. You see, God does not conditionally love, but He does conditionally forgive. We're only forgiven as we forgive. Remember, Matthew 6:15 says that we must forgive men their trespasses so that the Father will forgive us. And Matthew 18:21, Peter said, "Do I forgive 70 times 7? And Matthew 18:35, it says that the Heavenly Father will deal with everyone who has offenses in his heart. And Mark 11:26 says, "If we don't forgive, the Father will in heaven will not forgive us." And Mark 11:25, which is really important, says, "When we're praying, if we have anything against anyone, forgive them. Drop it, let it go, so that the Father can forgive us." So when we pray, we need to make sure everything is right in our heart. Our choice is to forgive. That choice cannot be taken away, but it can be given up. Sometimes our unforgiveness is based on lack of trust. Sometimes we just don't trust God, and we may ask, "Where was God when all this happened?" Our willingness to trust relates to how well our relationship with God is. God says, "Trust me." Now, the scriptures do not talk about our rights, but it does talk about sacrifices. Forgiveness is a sacrifice because it cost us everything to let go of an offense or a debt and let the hurt go. Yet, as we saw with the wicked servant, the forgiveness that we give keeps us from the tormentors. When we release the person who is in debt to us, we release them into God's hand, and He is then able to deal with them as He sees fit, and we are free. We don't get to deal with them. Only God gets to deal with them. Forgiveness does not mean we must forget the offense as if it never happened, or to trust the person again, or excuse their behavior. But forgiveness does mean we release them to God. Does forgiveness require reconciliation? Well, no, not necessarily. Forgiveness does not mean that the offender or perpetrator was not wrong or should not be held accountable. Sometimes they may not be safe. Does forgiveness require relationships to be restored? Well, sometimes if the person that was wounded would still be in danger, God may not choose to us to restore the relationship and put them in harm's way, but will still restore our broken or wounded heart. Restoration of relationship at the right time because of safety is a spiritual work of God. We have to depend upon God to restore our relationship at the right time. Discernment needs to be evident of whether or not the person can be trusted. Psalms 118:8 says, "It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust man." You see, we can trust the Lord to do what we can't. There are ways to determine if you can have relationship or reconciliation with the offender. Some questions to consider is the person safe? And is he or she willing to take steps to heal the wound inflicted? Is he or she willing to take responsibility and accountability of his or her actions? Are they willing to talk about it? And is there remorse? If you can't ask these questions and answer yes, then you might have to consider that reconciliation is not possible. If they, the perpetrator or the person that wounded you, is not willing to follow some of the steps, then the Holy Spirit needs to guide you in the relationship with them. It may be wise to read the book Boundaries. It's a wonderful book. We recommend it. It's Boundaries, and it's by Cloud and Townsend, and it talks about godly, safe boundaries that we can take in relationships. There are some things that are just set in concrete. If an offender is a child perpetrator, I would never give opportunity for a child to be put in their company without a supervisor. They may be remorseful, but that may not be their healed, and they may weaken and become a threat. The jails and penal system is full of people that have been put in jail. We can forgive them, but if they're still a threat, we have to be protected or protect our loved ones. How do I know I have forgiven them? Have I chosen to forgive them with my own free will? If they are safe, do I have the relationship with the person I desire? Is there joy when I see them? Do I desire good for them? If there is no desire for relationship, then maybe the wounds need to be healed and maybe the work of forgiveness is not complete. Let's ask some questions to see if our heart is clean. The Bible refers to clean hands and a pure heart. Is my relationship with God hindered? Have I lost power or is it blocked? Are there physical problems I'm experiencing? Do I experience periods of despondency? Do I have difficulty sleeping or resting? Do I find myself easily sinning? Are there continued patterns of sin? Am I physically or mentally exhausted without reason? Am I still angry? And do I rehearse ways to get even? Well, if you can say yes to any of the above, then there may be wounds of unforgiveness. Well, then, how do I know it's accomplished? Let me give you an example. When we ring a bell, the vibrations still move in the atmosphere, making it sound like the bell is still ringing, but it's not. It's only an echo. It's a vibration. It may echo for a while across the mountains of the valley, but eventually it will be silent. You see, forgiveness is like that. Forgiveness may be accomplished, but the memory in our mind may still echo for a while, but eventually it will silence. Now that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We make the decision, but when doubt comes, just remember, it's just an echo, not a true ring of the bell. It's a finished work. There is fruit of forgiveness. James 5:15 says, "Confess your sin one to another that you may be healed." You see, if we confess it, the Bible says we'll be healed from it, all the pain and hurt. 1 John 1:9 says he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And when our heart is cleansed, it's healed. The fruit of forgiveness reveals that we are free from the bondage of bitterness. We can be free to begin to love the person expecting nothing from them. They owe us nothing in return. Our hearts are reconciled to God and we can walk in spiritual authority. We can go forward and be released of our attitudes toward those who hurt us. You see, Jesus had to forgive the disciples. He had not sinned, but they sinned against him. And when Jesus had breakfast on the beach with his disciples after his resurrection, it was a covenant meal of forgiveness. They had all abandoned him. Yet he fellowshipped with the very ones that he loved. Yet he fellowshipped with the very loved ones that abandoned him. Later it says, he breathed into them the Holy Spirit. It was his willingness and ability to forgive sin, restore them back, and make them spiritually whole. When it says he breathed into them the Holy Spirit, that is when forgiveness came and they were restored. Tonight, we'd like to give you a chance to meditate upon the lessons been brought. Many times we have unforgiveness that Jesus wants to bring light to so that we can be made free. We reap what we sow, and tonight we want to sow forgiveness so that we can reap forgiveness and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we close, I want to pray and lead you in a prayer. And if you'd like to pray to release someone that has hurt you and ask Jesus to forgive you for your unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment, and be made free and whole, then you can pray this prayer with me. And you can say this with me now. Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, you've told me that forgiveness is not an option. You simply said, I have to choose to forgive. Yet sometimes I can't even do that. Lord, I don't know how to make this forgiveness happen. I can't cleanse my heart or change my feelings. I don't even know how to trust. And I'm afraid to even open up my heart. But today, I make the choice to forgive. I choose to forgive. So do for me what I cannot do for myself. I know I'll have to choose again and again until you make it real and complete in me. And I know you will do that for me. So please, God, give me the willingness and the strength to persevere in choosing until forgiveness is accomplished in me by your power. And in the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive those who've wronged me. Now you can say who that is at this time if you want to. I choose to forgive. I choose to live a life of forgiveness because you have forgiven me. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I get rid of all the resentments, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. I desire to be kind and compassionate to others, forgiven them just as Christ has forgiven me. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, for I know that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. That means, Lord, I won't see you without being holy, and I choose to be holy. So I choose to see to it that I do not miss your grace, and no roots of resentment or bitterness grow up within me or cause me trouble. I will watch and pray that I will not enter into temptation or cause others to stumble. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you watch over your word to perform it, and that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now do the perfect work in my heart. I declare that I have overcome resentment and bitterness by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the word of my testimony. And in Jesus' name we say, Amen.
Here in your presence, we are undone.
Thank you for listening to our program In His Presence. Our prayer is that God has spoken to you as you were in His presence. We hope that you will listen again. If you would like to have Pastors Bill and Carolyn speak at your organization, please contact us through our website. If you would like to help support Rapha Healing Ministries, please go to our donations page on raphahmi.org. All donations are tax deductible. In His Presence is a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, based in Midlothian, Virginia, and Jensen Beach, Florida.